97.5, The Fanatic.
Halfway down here on 97.5, The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli and Connor Thomas taking you until 10 o'clock. This weekend's program is brought to you by Farron Electric. If you have an urgent electrical issue in your home that needs attention, Farron Electric is operational, available to help. Visit farronelectric.com for emergency electrical services today. Get a tweet in from Steve. That's just says Steve. Mayo, can't stand it. Also tend to agree with that. Mayo is gross. There are way better condiments to use. Mustard is better. Ketchup is better. And I'm not even a ketchup fan, but ketchup is better than mayo. Barbecue sauce is definitely better. I know that you don't use them on the same thing, but hot sauce is also better. Mayo's nasty.
No, I'm not a hot sauce guy. I'm not a spicy guy, though, so that's different. Mustard, god-awful. Honey mustard, best condiment out there. There's honey nothing mustard. Better.
Now, listen, for the first time, so it's been 62 minutes that we've been on the air together. Honey mustard, it's the first time you and I agree. Honey mustard is unbelievably good.
So that's in a league of its own.
The first time that you and I agree on something.
You know, you look at baseball and there's good players and then there's Mike Trout.
Correct.
Like, that's honey mustard.
Honey mustard is the Mike Trout of condiments.
Absolutely. I don't even know if that's high enough praise. It's leagues above everything.
Might be Willie Mays. Might be the Willie Mays of condiments. Anyway, you and I, we teased this on the other side. You and I had a conversation off the air yesterday that I thought pretty relevant for the times, especially because these are the kind of conversations that you have when there are no live sports to be had. So you and I were sitting in the back, you know, like we talked about earlier, we were sitting in the back and this conversation kind of developed organically to the point where the question arose was, if you got the opportunity to play for another team outside of Philadelphia. So under the assumption that you're a professional athlete, right? If you had the opportunity to play for another team outside of Philadelphia, could you do it? And then we kind of took it a step further and said, well, where do you draw the line? Like, is it just the big time rivals? Is it anybody? Is it you could go play for everybody? So I'll give you my thought and then Connor, we'll get to yours as soon as I'm done mine here. I said to Connor, I would feel comfortable going to play for any team across any league, no matter what. Even as a diehard Philadelphia sports fan, I would feel comfortable being able to play for any team that drafted me. No consequences asked. I'm just going to go, I'm going to suit up, and I'm going to play games. And here's the reason why. And this is super, super selfish, but here's the reason why. The check still clears the same from every team. Your check clears the same from Philadelphia teams as it does from the Dallas Cowboys, as it does from the New York Mets, as it does from the Atlanta Braves. I understand the hesitation to want to go play for one of those franchises when you spent your entire life growing up a diehard Phillies fan, a diehard Sixers fan, a diehard Eagles fan, diehard Flyers fan. I understand the apprehension behind that. But to me, you are a professional athlete, and B, getting paid the same no matter what. The only thing that differs is how much your state taxes are. So I am fully okay with going to play for any team across any professional sport if I were good enough to be a professional athlete. Connor, on the other hand, does not feel so strongly. I'll let you explain yourself.
Yeah, I just couldn't ever see myself doing it, to be perfectly honest with you. And I don't know why I've been this way. I don't know what makes me this way. And I think in this city, more than maybe any other city out there, definitely more than most, it's prevalent. But when I look at myself and I see in one hand a sports fan and the other hand a Philly sports fan, I've always been more of a Philly sports fan than just a sports in general fan. The connection with the city, the connection with the teams, it's always been there for me. And I couldn't put on silver and blue and play for the Cowboys. I could never do it, regardless of the paycheck. I just couldn't.
What if the paycheck was more? Like, no. Substantially more. Like, let's say the Eagles were to offer you $1 million for a season. And the Cowboys said, we'll give you $5 million for a season. That is a 500% pay increase. That wouldn't even push you over the edge?
Yeah, so I don't want to pretend like I'm all Mr. Humble and money means nothing to me at all. Of course, making money is important. It's an important part of life to be able to support a family and everything like that. But it's not a huge motivator for me. It never really has been. And that paycheck, it doesn't... I wouldn't be able to sleep at night knowing that I play for the Dallas Cowboys. Or in baseball, you know, it's honestly the Yankees more than any other team. Maybe that comes from me growing up in Jersey and get that kind of crossover there.
Whatever team it is, I mean, it's that point of it is subjective.
Yeah, now, I mean, if you say, like, let's say I'm going to go out and play in L.A. for the Chargers, fine. Not a problem.
Okay, so the line gets drawn at rivalry team for you.
Yeah, it does.
The line doesn't get drawn at any team. It gets drawn at rival team.
For playing, yeah. I mean, I don't see... If I had the opportunity to be a professional athlete, it wasn't a dream of mine growing up and something...
That's
anywhere.
A dream. Yeah. Every kid dreams about being an athlete. Of course he does. Or of course she does. Most kids want to be a professional athlete at some point.
Like rivalry teams, though, for me, and other teams that hold significant weight for me personally. Like, so... My brother and my mom are both Minnesota Vikings fans. They're Minnesota sports fans. I couldn't play for the Vikings.
Okay.
I just couldn't do it. There's so much rooting against them that I've done because that sibling rivalry that I've always had with my brother. I couldn't do it. So, same for any teams in the NFC East.
Let me ask you this. You went to school on the Eastern Shore. I'd imagine a lot of Baltimore fans down there. How about the Ravens?
No, you know, I wouldn't have a problem with the Ravens because there was never that... That competition doesn't really exist. There's not really that much butting of heads between Eagles and Ravens fans. There's proximity, but how often do we really play? How often do we ever run into the Ravens?
Well, that's fair, I think. And again, I go back to the conversation I had last weekend where I dislike Pittsburgh fans more than I dislike Pittsburgh teams. Like the Penguins withstanding. I can't stand the Penguins, obviously. But the Steelers and the Pirates don't really mean anything to me. Steelers fans and Pirates fans mean a lot more to me because I think that they're arrogant. Now, granted, we're arrogant here in Philly, too. That's not to be mistaken. We're arrogant in Philly as well. But I think that they're arrogant, and it's kind of like I can beat up my little brother, but you can't beat up my little brother. Whereas, like, you talk about Philly arrogance, it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. We're Philly. And then Pittsburgh's like, yeah, well, we've got 6 Super Bowls, and you're like, who are you talking to? You want to tussle? You know what I mean? So, like, the fandom itself, so that was really why I asked you, was more along the lines of, was there a Baltimore fandom that would put you over the edge to not want to play for a Baltimore team?
No, I'll tell you honestly, I wasn't a huge fan of the Baltimore fans that I ran into down there. Philly sports fans, I don't want to say snobs because it has a negative connotation, but we take our sports a lot more passionately than a lot of other fan bases do. And when you get into conversations with people who you can clearly tell don't care as much as you and try and act like they're as knowledgeable or as passionate and they're putting on that facade for you, that bothers me. And that's kind of what I felt down there. But also because we're outliers in a city full of outliers because of how passionate we are and where we ended up career-wise and how we clearly have always had that passion for sports. The fan base on a base level, though, I couldn't really have a problem with them. It just doesn't have that same fire. But you were talking about bringing up fan bases. Like, another part of it is I could never imagine some Cowboys fan up here in the greater Philadelphia area wearing their cut-off jean shorts and their Jordans and their blue and white Cowboys jersey and having it say Thomas on the back and knowing that those were the type of people rooting for me, screaming in the face of the people I'd die for growing up and the team I'd die for growing up. Could never do it. I wouldn't be able to look myself in the mirror.
Okay. So 610-632-0975. Do you find yourself on my side of the spectrum where I'll go play for anybody right now? You know, if I'm a professional athlete, you can draft me to any team, sign me to any team. As long as the paycheck clears for the NFL or the NBA or the NHL or the MLB, as long as that paycheck clears, I'll go play for any team right now. Connor, on the other hand, is somewhat pick and choose. So it's more rivalry-based. So no Dallas, no Giants. I'd imagine still no Redskins, probably.
Definitely no Redskins.
Okay, so no Washington. And then baseball, I would bet it's probably no Mets, no Braves, no Nationals. Is it? Does it extend to the Marlins?
See, I have to just out of principle, but the Marlins, they don't deserve the same stratosphere because they really hadn't been good since the early 2000s.
Okay, so let's go to the NBA. Celtics for sure. Knicks for sure.
The Knicks almost go in that same category. And the tough thing with the Knicks, so they're a huge market, right? But they don't carry that Yankees weight, or they don't carry that Lakers weight, where it's like, because they've been garbage for so long,
okay. That's
almost endearing, and you also get the ability to play for that huge market. So Knicks, I don't know if they carry that okay. Same weight for me.
All right, so Celtics for sure, though. How about the Raptors?
Couldn't. After last year, couldn't.
Okay.
This is a discussion for another time, but playing in a league that's called the National Basketball Association and playing outside of the nation is a whole other thing that I don't think should exist.
It's the National Hockey League, and they play through two countries.
I agree with that as well. Yeah, that's
so there should be no American teams in it.
Rename it. This is a whole other rabbit hole.
The World Hockey League, that's already a thing.
North American Hockey League, something. But okay. If it's a national league and they're playing outside of your nation, it's ridiculous. And hockey, there's a little bit more crossover, but Toronto Blue Jays, Toronto Raptors were the only team out of the country in that sport. Ridiculous. Okay. Get them out of here.
All right, fair enough. So how about the Brooklyn Nets?
The Nets are a tough one. The Nets, they used to be Jersey. It's my home state.
Yep.
So we never really had that heavy rivalry
with
them.
Sure.
I think I'd still be all right with the Nets.
Okay, and then the last one, let's go to the NHL. Devils?
Yeah, that's Jersey as well. I'm from Jersey, so the home state kind of allows that to happen for me.
Penguins?
No shot.
Rangers and Islanders, both the New York teams?
No chance.
Okay, let's go to some of the more recent additions to the new Metropolitan, the Capitals.
No chance.
Okay, how about the Carolina Hurricanes?
I'm okay with the Hurricanes.
Okay. It seems there's a lot of people that are okay with the Hurricanes, whether they like the storm surge or just being another team that made a run to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. It seems like there's a lot of people that are okay with the Hurricanes. How about the Blue Jackets?
Yeah, I'm cool with the Blue Jackets, too. I mean, it's Columbus. Those people need something to root
okay,
for.
Okay, so you're entirely situational based on your rivalries and or who you don't like.
Well, another thing to keep in mind is, like, I don't want to get caught up. The big thing for the Capitals is, like, that's crossover with Redskins fans. I don't want that crossover. Like, there's cities that are totally off limits. Like, the Stars, no chance. Well, the Mavericks, no chance.
That's a great point that you bring up, because here's the thing. I mean, you see Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and these guys, they are always at Eagles games, and they were going to Flyers games during the season when they had days off. You're going to be expected to, you don't have to be a diehard fan. You know, like, Joel Embiid has taken it to an extreme where he is, like, actually, I think he considers himself an Eagles fan. You don't have to take it to that point. But I would imagine at some point, unless it is well known, like unless you're Mike Scott and it's well known that you are a Washington Redskins fan, I would think that at some point you're going to have to put on the Cowboys jersey and do the, hey, now by the way, look at section 212. It's the Dallas Stars. Yeah, everybody cheat. You know what I mean? Like, at some point, you got to do that. You couldn't do it?
No shot. You know, like, Carl Anthony Towns will show up at Eagles games?
Yeah.
In the offseason? That's me.
But that's fine. You can still show up at Eagles games and make it well known that you're an Eagles fan. You're probably not going to get, I mean, if you're good as a star, you're going to get cheered, but you're probably not going to be endeared or loved if you renounce the Cowboys. But at some point, you're going to have to show up to the Mavericks game and wear your Mavericks, you know, your Dallas Mav Stars or whatever you want to call them, you know, your crossover jersey with your name on the back. You're going to have to do it.
Yeah, I couldn't. It's too close to the filth of Dallas for me. I couldn't do it.
I don't know. I think the when that number starts rolling into the 6-0 spot, you know, like a 5 and 6 zeros after it, a 500% increase, we don't fathom how much money these players actually make. Like, you get a number, right? And you see, all right, Malcolm Jenkins signs for X amount of dollars with the New Orleans Saints. And we go, wow, that's really cheap comparatively to the NFL. We can't fathom what it's like to be a multimillionaire. I don't know if I could look at $1 million and then say, wow, somebody's offering me 500% more than that and say no just because it's the Dallas Cowboys. I know that I'm probably in the minority around Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'm really interested.
Especially when it comes to Dallas.
I don't know that you are.
More people would play for the Cowboys than what you would think?
For that amount of money, I think it's tough to argue against that factor of it.
Now, I used kind of an albatross example because it was a 500% increase. What if it's a... What is, I guess, the minimum to make the number equal out? Like, you know what I mean? So if the Cowboys were to offer me 1.5 and the Eagles offered me 1, you know, we're just playing with numbers here, I probably would take the Cowboys or the Eagles at that point, because as $500,000 is a ton of money, but the number there is not significant enough to go play for the Cowboys. Now, I get your point there, but again, it goes to that albatross number. What happens if it's 1 versus 5? How can you turn that down? You're, especially in the NFL, your playing career is so finite. Your playing career is, what's the average NFL playing career? 2.6 years, I think. That means that think about this. 2.6 years is the average NFL playing career. That means that 50% of NFL players to have ever put on an NFL jersey played less than 2.6 years. You got to get your money while you can get it.
Yeah, and that's why, like, when I say this, I understand that it's kind of an insane side of the argument to be on, to turn down that amount of money. But I do, honestly, this isn't because I'm on 97.5 The Fanatic in Philadelphia. This is how I honestly feel. It's how I've always felt. It's just burned into me.
I'm not saying that it's because you work in sports radio, specifically because you work in sports radio. I understand you grew up a Philadelphia fan just like I did. Anybody that tells you, and I'm stealing this line from Pat Egan, anybody that tells you that they got into sports radio, sports writing, play-by-play, whatever it is, anybody that tells you they got into this industry not because they're a fan is lying to you. I know a ton of unbelievably talented writers that are not from Philadelphia. And I know a lot of unbelievably talented writers that are from Philadelphia that work in other cities. They got into this industry because they're a fan of sports. So I think you can put that withstanding. You don't even have to put that caveat.
Right, but my point was, like, I honestly believe this. I honestly strongly believe that I wouldn't play for the Cowboys for any amount of money. But maybe I'm crazy because of the perspective I have. And I'm very interested to see, because I feel that more of Philadelphia would be on my side, but I could be wrong. I don't know.
I believe that most of Philadelphia is on your side. I don't believe that they have my opinion. Because I think a lot of people are way too proud of where they grew up and the teams that they rooted for. Because when you talk about diehards, you talk about teams that you root for through good times and bad, through up seasons and down seasons. I mean, we've lived that with the Eagles. We've lived that with the Sixers. I mean, we've really lived that with all of our teams, because that's how sports are. Sports are cyclical. I believe that most people are on your side because they are way too proud to justify playing for a rival that they grew up hating, that they grew up despising, that they grew up cursing at, that they grew up, you know, on Sunday, hey, by the way, the Eagles are playing the Cowboys. You guys know what to do. I mean, you learn it at a young age.
Like, so then let me ask you this. Why don't we see people pulling the Eli Manning, and like someone from here gets drafted to the Washington Redskins, some kid from Philly gets drafted to the Redskins or to Boston in the NBA, and they say, no, I'm not going to play for him.
Because the mindset is different for players that have the opportunity to go pro. You and I don't have the pro opportunity, so we can have this conversation. You know, remember how you were talking about Joe Smith earlier? Joe Smith, when we have this conversation at the corner, you know, the corner store, right? He played, what, high school ball, maybe? That you're just your, and I'm not singling anybody out. This is just your average guy, played high school ball, right? And believes that if he got the opportunity to play professionally, he would turn down the Dallas Cowboys. I think that it's not the right mindset, but I think that there are a lot of people that do truly feel that way. I think when you got a player that is legitimately good enough to go to the league, any of the leagues, like let's take, just because he recently signed, let's take Will Parks, for example. I'm sure Will Parks wanted to be an Eagle. I would, based on his comments that he made when he signed, it seemed to me that it was a dream to be a Philadelphia Eagle. But when you get a phone call from the general manager of the Denver Broncos, or you know, that's maybe a team that you would go play for, you personally, Connor. But you get a call from Jerry Jones. Are you going to be like, nah, sorry, Mr. Jones, thanks, but I'm not going to play for the Cowboys?
Dude, if no, Jerry Jones not. Is on my cell phone, he's going to hear some words that I can't utter over these airwaves right now.
I don't believe that because I think it would be extremely foolish for you to turn down an NFL offer.
I have such disdain for that organization.
I get it. I do too. Everybody in this city, except the Weasel fans, have disdain for the Cowboys. I get it. I understand it. That is the pinnacle example. Because when you ask Philly, what team do you hate the most? I bet you if we're playing Family Feud, right? Show me Dallas Cowboys, ding, number one answer. Pretty evident. But I don't know if the Cowboys called you up. Now, I don't even know if I could say that. I was going to say that if you were a UDFA, maybe your opinion would change. I don't even know if you could say that, because if you're a UDFA, you're not you don't have many opportunities. You weren't drafted for a reason. But I think most people in this city will tell you, I don't know if they believe it in here, but I know that they will speak it and say to you, yeah, if the Cowboys called, I wouldn't go. I think that that's the majority. I'm not in that majority. 610-632-0975. We're going to take a quick break on the other side. We'll continue this conversation. I also saw two different tweets, and these are the hypothetical situations that we've kind of gotten into over the last couple of weeks. So I want to have this conversation on the other side. So we'll discuss fictitious football players, and we will also discuss stadiums from around all of the leagues, so arenas and stadiums across the four major sports. 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli and Connor Thomas taking you until 10 o'clock right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Two segments to go here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Saturday evening. Tyler Zuli and Connor Thomas as we take you to 10 o'clock. That's when our friends from Checkpoint Radio take over from there. So we mentioned our health heroes earlier, and that's a great cause. Another great cause that Beasley Media and 97.5 The Fanatic are really proud to team up with. Is to help small businesses, because we all know that small businesses are the backbone of our local community. And right now, more so than ever, I think they could use your help. So this is where we introduce 97.5 The Fanatic's Operation Shop Local. It's our initiative to set up encouragement of gift card purchases from your local business and to highlight those offering home delivery or curbside pickup. Business owners, if this sounds like you, go to 97.5thefanatic.com. and list your business in our free directory. The Fanatic is promoting this for our listeners to review and patronize whenever possible. It's Operation Shop Local, because we're all in this together. Of course, from the Beasley Media Group and 97.5 The Fanatic, 97.5thefanatic.com, because that's where you can find it, of course. This is something that I believe very strongly in. I believe in local ties. I believe in the local community. I understand that things are tough for everybody right now. So if you have the ability to, I think that that is probably the key word. If you have the ability to help someone out, especially a small business owner, someone that you've probably seen and know in your community for a really long time, go and buy a gift card from them. It gives them the ability to help their employees and help their business currently. And a lot of places, gift cards never expire. So you buy a gift card. When we beat this thing finally, you go out and you go have a nice dinner, or you go get a, you know, whatever your local business is, go buy a gift card and help them out if you have the ability to.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more. Just real quick, not to get too off topic. Did you see this thing going on with Mark Zuckerberg, how he donated and he's catching all his backlash online because he didn't donate enough? What do you think about all that?
I got to tell you, I am a big believer, and without getting political, I am a big believer in not telling people how to use their money and not telling people what to do with their money. I don't care what the percentage of his net worth is that he donated. What was it, $25 million?
$25 million.
Mark Zuckerberg donated $25 million to aid, you know, relief funds, right? Aid and relief, I believe it was. I don't care that that was like 0.4% of his net worth or whatever the percentage was. I don't care. Any human being that is willing to give money, whether it's a dollar or $25 million, to help their fellow human being, I'm good with. I don't need to hear, oh, well, that's like us regular people donating 20 bucks. I don't care. Because here's the thing. If you donate 20 bucks to someone in need or your community, you're doing a good thing. Just leave it at doing a good thing. I'm glad you brought that up because I forgot about that, and it's something that annoyed me. The guy gave $25 million to help people in need. I think that right there, that's the headline. That's it. Stop. Next story. Do you feel the same way? Or
I totally agree with you. Sometimes I'm a little case by case on this. When you see stuff from like a Jeff Bezos and he's given like a million to something and you know he's worth however many billion. In this instance, what $25 million means to all these people that are going to benefit from that, especially given the circumstances and everything. This is a global pandemic. Like every little bit, there's going to be money pouring in left and right, but not $25 million. And the people who are outraged about this, what would you rather have happen? Would you rather have the lives that are going to be saved by that $25 million donation not be saved? And would you rather have him not make the donation at all? Because it almost seems like people are wishing he didn't do anything at all because it's not up to their standards. It's bizarro world to me. Be grateful for the good things you see people doing.
That's all it is. Just be thankful for the good that is happening. I am hoping that $25 million goes a super long way. I don't know what monetary value is for a pandemic. I really don't. I'm not an expert on this thing by any means. I don't know what the monetary value of $25 million is. And by that, I mean how long that stretches. But anything that you can give is helping your community. It's why we talk about buying these gift cards, right? You could buy a $5 gift card from your local place. If that's what your means are, or if it's not, if you're just trying to help somebody, help somebody. That's all that we are about. Just be people to people.
Yeah, and if you're one of those people outraged on Twitter, and that's in Mark Zuckerberg's mentions right now, wondering why he didn't donate more and saying what percentage of the normal person's salary would be and how much that would be, take that money, go to a local business, do something yourself with it, because if you're going to be outraged, back it up. Put your money where your mouth is. There's a lot of people out there doing great things and giving great opportunities to help out. So please, if you're going to be outraged, at least turn it into something good and back that up and do your own part too, because he's giving and we all need to help out together at a time like this.
Well said. So let's change gears just a little bit and have a little bit of fun, because that's kind of how this show has gone. Early, we're going to go with the heavy topics and then we'll have a little fun later in the show. Sports Illustrated tweeted this out and said, "You are on the clock. What fictional football player are you taking?" So they put with the first pick, I'd assume, in, you know, your made-up fictitious NFL-style draft. I'm going to change it just a little bit, but I, of course, want to give them credit for this topic. I'm going to change it just a little bit. The game is on the line, and you got to pick one fictitious character, one fictitious football player, to win you a game. And we're not going to say, you know, if you pick a high school player, We're not going to say they have to win the Super Bowl. We're just going to say they have to win their, you know, state championship or high school championship. If you pick a college player, they've got to win the national title. If you pick what is considered a professional player, then they do have to win the Super Bowl. But we're not going to make it as, you know, high school players got to win the Super Bowl. So right off the top of your head, if you had to pick a fictional football character, meaning TV show, movie, that sort of thing, who are you taking to win their specific championship? Connor?
Oh, I got to go Boobie Miles. That's my guy.
Pre-knee, I'm assuming pre-knee injury Boobie Miles.
Well, yeah, he's not out there in a wheelchair.
Well, I mean, you could say, hey, we're going to go redemption story. See if the guy can play anymore.
No, we don't know about that because he could have a knee all torn up. You don't know how he comes back. But no, give the ball to Boobie Miles, let him run.
Okay, so simple as that. You're picking Boobie Miles. See, I think the one that a lot of people are going to take is Bobby Boucher, the water boy. I am not agreeing with Bobby Boucher. Because until I see Bobby Boucher able to play on the offensive side of the ball more than one play, I think that the offensive strategy that that opposing coach at the end deployed is something that could possibly work if you believe your offense can beat their defense. Or, your defense could beat their offense. I need somebody that is on the offensive side of things. I need somebody that is going to win me a game in the clutch, down the stretch, someone that I know is going to put their whole heart into the game. And when it comes to heart, and heart over talent matters in fictional movies.
Obviously. Oh, no.
When it comes to heart, no one outclasses the man who redeemed himself in the final game of the scrub season. And that is Shane Falco.
Oh, okay. I didn't think you were going
replacements.
There.
No one outclasses the heart of Shane Falco down the stretch when he realizes that he's got nothing left to play for except pride. That's a redemption story, and that's the guy I want calling the plays at the end because he's going to do everything he can to get your team into the end zone.
I thought you were going to go with Rudy.
Sorry about that. Phone's ringing. I'm trying to figure out what happened. I realized the phone was ringing. So I'm going with Shane Falco. Again, because I believe that he is the guy that is going to give you everything you need down the stretch. I thought you were going to go with Rudy.
And
no.
Like, there's no way.
Absolutely
of course.
Not.
Well, after
that
your bacon thing, I don't know what you're doing
movie.
Out there. You're a loose cannon, Zuli.
That's a terrible football movie. It's a terrible movie.
Do you think he was offsides?
Yeah, of course he was. Yeah.
No doubt. He doesn't get a jump on anyone like that.
Absolutely offsides.
Okay, fair enough. Falco's a good pick.
By the way, I get the, we're going to lay our jerseys down for the guy and let the guy play because he's busted his butt. Falco at least had talent comparably to, you know, the league at the time, the scabs that were playing. Rudy had no talent. No talent whatsoever. So, of course, there are guys that are more physically gifted than him. Bobby Boucher is one of them. The guy that, why am I blanking on his name? The guy in the remake of The Longest Yard, not Adam Sandler's character, the running back. What is the running back's name? Because he was definitely one of the best athletes of movie era. I gotta find this guy's name because it's gonna kill me now. My dad tweets in and says Paul Crewe of The Longest Yard. That's the quarterback. That's his guy. I go Falco over Crewe because in a standard game, Falco's not going to get away with throwing a pass at the referee like Paul Crewe got away with throwing a pass at the referee. They're right there. They're both similar. They bet on the games. That's why Falco wasn't in the league, and it's, you know, partially why Paul Crewe was in the situation that he was in. I think I'm still taking Falco over Paul Crewe.
Now, what if you have to go to the defensive side of the ball? You have one off the top of your head?
Has to be a defensive player?
Yeah.
That's where things get a little bit more dicey because I don't believe that the defense gets enough credit. I would say, if you're putting me on the spot, I have to go with, and I know that this is a little bit of a cop-out, but I think if I'm going defense, I might go Gary Bertier from Remember the Titans.
See, I'm on the opposite side. Oh, well, same side. Left side's still the strong side, but I'm going Julius.
Okay, so we're going within the same movie. Actually, you know what? Julius was probably a better player. I think that that's probably pretty fair.
It's hard because Bertier got the more props. He was an All-American the year before and everything.
Right. So it's not like Bertier was a bad player. I just think that either way, I don't think you can go wrong. Bertier was just the first one that comes to my head, but Julius was also a tremendous tremendous defensive
also
player.
Real guys, though, so I don't know if they fit in this conversation.
I don't know if they fit the mold, because I know that they you can go with them, you know, are we just going fictional? If we're strictly going fictional, then yes, you can't go then. But if we're going movie, then I think you could probably get away with it. 610-632-0975. Carl and Tacone, you're going to be up next. I want to give you your full time, and then it can be you. We're discussing which fictional football player are you taking with the game on the line, as well as are you allowing the NFL draft to continue, and why is bacon a good food? Because it's disgusting. 610-632-0975. We're here until 10 o'clock right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yes, we are. We're here until 10 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Connor Thomas and Tyler Zulli, as we continue to kind of change the conversation up over the last couple of segments a little bit. By the way, the player that I was looking for from The Longest Yard, the player that Nelly portrays in the sequel of The Longest Yard, is Meggett at running back. So that's my starting offensive player if I'm not going with Shane Falco. And then defense, you know, I tried to do a couple article looks throughout the break just to see if other people had rankings. And every article that I found has both of the defensive end, Julius Campbell, and linebacker, Gary Bertier, on their list. So we're going to put them on there. I know they're not fictitious, but we're going to put them on there. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Carl and Tacone next on The Fanatic. What's up, Carl?
Hey, what's going on, Tyler? How you doing, man?
Hey, good. Thanks for making the call.
No problem, man. All right, so the guy I was thinking of, I just got done watching a show on Netflix. I don't know if you're aware of. It's called All American.
I have not seen it yet, no.
Okay, so the show is, I'll just give you a little background. It's a real good show, and the kid's name is Spencer James. He's a wide receiver who plays for Crenshaw High, and Tay Diggs is the coach of Beverly Hills High.
Okay.
And he comes down, and he used to play for Crenshaw when he was a kid, and the field's named after him, all that stuff, whatever. So he comes, and he gets this kid to come out to Beverly Hills to play for him there. And so he's, like, splitting time back and forth from Crenshaw to Beverly Hills, and he's going through all the problems in the neighborhood and then up there. And the kid just goes through a ton of stuff, you know. I mean, he ends up getting shot, having to rehab from that, and he's just there, and the team just like rallies around. It's a great show, man. It's a really good show. And sure, if you were to see it, you would know where I'm coming from with why I'm choosing him. I'm sure if other people have seen it who are listening, they'd agree.
So let me ask you this. So it's two seasons, or is it just the one season now?
It's two seasons.
Okay.
They're good hour-long episodes. It's not like they got two seasons on there and they're like 20 minutes or something.
Sure.
It's a good show to watch, yeah.
Okay, so you would highly recommend for a sports fan to kind of get into, especially now that we've got going on? All right, cool.
Yeah, right. That's the only reason I found it is because I was digging deep in the
Netflix
files, archives. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I think we're all kind of doing that right now. Hey, real quick, Carl, before we let you go, the NFL draft is said to still be being held April 23rd through the 25th. If you were Roger Goodell, are you moving the draft back or are you keeping it where it's at?
I'm moving the draft back 100%.
Carl, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. See, it's me, it's Connor coming around on it, and it's, I think, every caller we've had tonight so far. I don't think we've had any objectors. to moving the draft back. And this is what I am concerned about, is that Roger Goodell will not see the forest for the trees being the draft, the forest being every person that we've come in contact with tonight, saying that they think it's not a great idea to keep the draft where it is. It hurts. It really does. We are clamoring for sports normalcy. And this is the best kind of sports normalcy that we are going to be able to look forward to when it comes to the end of April. I just don't know if it's a great idea. I don't know if I can justify saying, well, I really want sports, so let's let this thing roll as is. I just can't do it.
Yeah, it feels almost selfish. Like when I have the thought of having the draft, the more you think about it and the closer we get and the more this situation escalates, you have to think about how this draft will affect the general population, and even more specifically, the people actually affected by the draft, the players who are going to want to gather with their families and the executives who are going to want to gather with their draft teams.
Right.
And it's like, how selfish are we to want this to go on for a couple days worth of entertainment when everything else in the country is getting shut down? And of course, Goodell's in charge of this, and we've talked about how the NFL seems almost like a deity at points, but it almost feels, I have that feeling of that I'm being selfish when I think about wanting the draft to go on as planned.
Yeah, no, I agree. It really sucks having to choose between like being selfish and hoping for some kind of sports normalcy. Because I truly am at this point a big believer in that there's a difference between sports normalcy and life normalcy. And I think that we can, I think that a lot of us can separate the two. But for many, many people, sports normalcy is life normalcy. And it's hard to separate the two. So when people are hoping to get the draft back, I get their point. Or to keep the draft, I should say. I get their point. But I just don't know if I can justify it. Hey, real quick, before we get out of here, there was something I saw on Twitter. And I'm going to apologize to whoever put it out because I lost it and I can't seem to find who tweeted it. I'd like to give them credit, but I'll try to find it as you're giving me your answers. It was a four-part question. And it had to do, I think primarily it was a baseball question, but I want to open it up for all four major sports really quickly before we get out of here. The question was, what is the first stadium you ever went to, the most recent stadium you were in, or arena, of course, the best stadium you were ever at, and the worst stadium you were ever at? Can you give me the four off the top of your head?
Yeah, no doubt. This came to me so quickly. So the first stadium I was ever in was the Vet. The most recent was the Farg, as the kids call it, the Wells Fargo Center.
Oh, boy.
Great. Great shortening.
You're a Farg guy?
Huge Farg guy.
Come on. If you're going to do that, like, I know that's just for hockey, but like,
No, it's for everything.
The Barn sounds so much better.
Right, yeah, the Barn for hockey, but it's the Farg, even when the Sixers play. That's the Farg. Call it the Link, call it the Bank, but call it the Farg. It fits.
You don't want to go with the Wells?
No, the Wells, that's garbage. The Wells, no. Yeah, keep up with the times, the Farg. All the cool kids are saying it.
How about the Center? The Center seems to be the
Center's not bad, but the Center is like, that's a boomer thing.
And here's the thing, as much as we call the Barn for hockey, the Center seems to be the basketball.
That's
like
fair.
Relation. You know what
that's,
I mean?
Yeah, that's fair.
That seems to be the separation.
I don't know. I'm a Farg guy. But anyway, that was my last one.
Okay.
The best stadium I've been to. The atmosphere surrounding the Link on a Sunday in fall, there's nothing better in the world. And the worst is hands down FedEx Field down in Landover. That
I bet
place.
You get that a lot.
That's garbage. That's the worst stadium. That's the worst building I've ever been in. It just reeks of sadness. And the ownership's garbage, and they don't care, and no one goes out. And the worst is I saw a game there, and it was a Kirk Cousins comeback to beat the Eagles, and I have no desire to ever go back there.
Would you go back there if it was for a division title?
No, you know, I'm not a big traveling on-the-road guy,
right,
because there's no upside, especially from Philly. Either people are going to hate you because you're a Philly fan, you're being loud and boisterous throughout the game. You win, people are going to hate you. You lose, you're going to wish you weren't there.
All right, fair enough. So your four is first visited the Vet, last visited Wells Fargo Center.
Nope, the Farg.
Wells Fargo Center. Best stadium is the Link Atmosphere, and worst stadium is FedEx Field. All right, fair enough. So I'll give you mine real quick before we get out of here. First stadium is also the vet, I believe, I you know, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I want to go with the vet. Stadium that I was at last, this one is more difficult because I haven't been to a game in a while because, you know me, I engineer a lot of the game broadcast, so I haven't been to a game in a while. I want to say it might be Citizens Bank Park for baseball because I've not been to a Sixers game this year and I've not been to a Flyers game this year. So I would say probably it's Citizens Bank Park is the most recent one I've visited. This, to me, much like how you felt about FedEx Field, hands down the worst stadium in all of sports is Tropicana in Tampa Bay.
I've never been, but I've heard such bad things.
It is the dumpiest of all dumps I've ever been at. It's pathetic. Hate it. And it feels like you're in a gym. And the light, like, you know how when you're in, this is a weird example. You know how you're when you're in, like, a Walmart and the lights are super LED bright and you almost start to get a headache? That's how I remember. And it was a long time ago. They may have made some nice renovations.
They have.
I was there. It was a dump. Absolute dump. So I got to go with Tropicana as the worst stadium. Best stadium I've ever been to. This one's not hands down, but it is still the one that I go back to the most, is Camden Yards in Baltimore. I think the Orioles have a beautiful stadium down there. There's a museum right outside that's full of Baltimore sports. It, you can truly make a day trip out of it, and it's just a really nice, the area that, like, the stadium complex and around it is really nice.
If only they could get a baseball team to play down there.
Yeah, if only you could get something that's half decent, it might help you out a little bit. But Camden Yards, to me, I walked out of Camden Yards, and I didn't go down for a Phillies game. My dad and I just went for an Orioles game just to go to another park, and I walked out of there with a ton of enjoyment.
I do love that park.
It's
beautiful.
It's great, man. Awesome.
It's no Link.
And like I said, the Link, here's the thing, really quickly before we get out of here. The Link atmosphere makes the stadium. The Link itself is nothing special. Like, the Link atmosphere is unreal. I just don't know if I like the Link as a stadium. But atmosphere plays into it.
Of course. Always does.
Connor, thanks so much for your help today. I know it was a quick show, but we had a lot of fun. Thank you for calling and tweeting in for our show as well. I'll be back tomorrow at 4 o'clock from 4 to 8 with Pat Egan. So until then, our guys from Checkpoint Radio are up next. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. I'll see you tomorrow right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.